Yes, so work, and what does the Bible say about work? The great thing about today's sermon is that many of you have got an alternative. If you need it. Who knew the church times were so interesting? It'll be even more interesting in 10 minutes' time. We could be looking, if we were talking about work, at the book of Job in the Old Testament. That went better at St. Peter's. As you heard from our readings, we're looking at two other passages. But it's interesting how people are defined by their work very often. The idea of that little activity just now was to find out how naturally people just talk about what they do or what they did. Perhaps also, if you are out of work, it would be the last thing you wanted to share. Or if you've been made redundant, it's a painful thing. Or that you can't work, and then it's not quite so big to talk about it in those ways, is it? I once worked for with a sonographer. My chunk of my career was in medical imaging, and a sonographer is someone who takes pictures of the inside of the body using ultrasound waves. Sometimes it's of a developing baby, other times it's for disease processes. This guy was a really good sonographer, fantastic. But what he really wanted out of life was to finish doing the ultrasound scans and get out of the workplace so that he could go and enjoy himself. He liked water sports, walking in the outdoors. He was a real active sort. And then one day he came to work and said, "Great news, I've got a job in New Zealand. And I want to go to New Zealand because I'll be able to do much more of all these things I really enjoy." He'd be able to afford a house by the sea. He'd have more time. There'd be less pressure at work. And it was going to be fantastic. He was emigrating to a new life overseas. But within a year, that chap was back in England. The lifestyle opportunities in New Zealand had been fantastic. Everything that he'd hoped for, he'd been able to do. But the work was rubbish. Being a sonographer in New Zealand at that time was nowhere near as challenging or as satisfying or as enjoyable as being a sonographer in the UK. And he realized that his work meant much more to him than he'd really anticipated. Everything else was there, but if he wasn't happy at work, he wanted to be back in the UK. Work is a very large part of our lives if we have a job. If we have that work, it's very likely to take up a large proportion of our time. It used to be able to say you'd spend a third of your time asleep and a third of your time at work and a third of your time doing other stuff. But we all know that work, if you have a job, is beginning to get much bigger than a third. Some people say as much as a half of your time you're probably spent at work, and that work-life balance thing is pressurized. But it's a big part of life. And society in general tends to label us according to our job or our lack of a job or maybe even our ability to work. And it's common, isn't it, to see that this large chunk of your life is a bit burdensome, or maybe it's a necessary evil, something that you have to do in order to support your family or do the things that you want to do. Work is something that you do to get through it and get to the end of it and get out of it. A bit like beating your head against a brick wall. It's lovely when it stops, that kind of attitude. But my friend, the sonographer, discovered that there is more to it than that. Work, or lack of work, can throw up all sorts of issues for people. Whether we're employed or unemployed, whether we're retired, whether we're unable to work, or perhaps if we're exhausted from work that goes unrecognized, like, for example, caring for a dependent relative. And that's why it's worth looking at what the Bible has to say about work. And we've got a few perspectives today. And the first thing I'd like to say may sound a bit obvious. Jesus is interested in you. Jesus is interested in you. He said that he came to give us life in all its fullness. And I don't think he was just talking about future life in heaven. I think he was talking about life in its fullness here and now. And if work is a big part of our lives, Jesus was talking about that too. Jesus' desire and his capability to walk with us through this world and to transform our lives includes the large proportion of our time that's spent at work or doing things Why do we tend to shut him out of that big part of our lives? We tend to talk of work and jobs in terms of whether they're full-time or part-time, or maybe even these days, 0 hours work. But I imagine none of us would like to be classified as part-time followers of Jesus, part-time Christians. But if we don't take Jesus to work with us, perhaps that's just what we are. We might like to ask ourselves, what would be different in my life if I saw my work as part of my worship of God, my service of God? And I include all sorts of work in that, not just the paid sorts. What would be different? Christians also have a responsibility to care about work as part of our job of playing our part in establishing God's kingdom on the earth. Roz just read us a passage from Ecclesiastes, which, if you want to check it back again, it's on page 670, in which everything seemed to have gone brilliantly well for the writer in terms of his work. It was successful and it provided all sorts of delights, even a harem. Now that's some kind of benefit. I don't get one of them working for the Society of Radiographers. I think I'd need to be a general secretary of a much bigger union to have the harem. But the writer had a dream job with incredible benefits. List upon list of great things. But then in verse 7 he says, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Good work is not always measured in what the world considers to be the marks of success. One of the most corrosive effects of the culture in which we live today is the relative value that's placed on work according to status. People doing what we define as menial jobs tend to be looked down upon, whilst the well-paid command respect whatever it is they do. Those who cannot work are sometimes suspected, even by the very system that's supposed to be supporting them, and sometimes they're abused. And those attitudes also quite easily spill over into how we view people in retirement and the contribution they can make, whether it's in voluntary work or in other ways. They tend to be belittled because they're no longer as productive. And that's very corrosive and damaging. Christians have always stood up for good work and value, human value, in the workplace. And if you look at the history books, you'll see that some of the great social reforms, like the abolition of slavery, the establishment of the trade union movement, are very much about what Christians are doing to change attitudes to work. So Christians have a responsibility to take a world view, a national view, on the way that work is undertaken and attitudes to work. But we also have a responsibility individually about our attitudes to work. So we might like to ask ourselves, is my work life compatible with my Christian beliefs, or am I compromising those beliefs at work? How could I change things if there is a bit of a mismatch? And what would my top prayer request for my work be? Have you ever thought of asking someone to pray for you and your job? It's a great bit in our church newsletter which encourages us to pray for people, for Christian people, in different types of work. And you might also pray, is this the correct work for me at the moment? In the second reading, which was from Paul's letter to the Ephesian Christians, we heard something of what the Bible has to say about good work. So maybe Ecclesiastes was about bad work or work that wasn't going properly. Ephesians is about what good work might look like. Now, it talks about slaves and masters of slaves, and I've just said that Christians are anti-slavery. We could have a whole sermon on the slave-master thing in here, but let's have a look at what it says about attitudes at work. The passage shows how a relationship with Jesus can transform those attitudes. And I think the key to understanding how God wants to be involved in our work is in verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. If our work is service to God and not just other people, that can change everything. As workers, we're part of the way, in which our loving Lord is providing for the needs of his world. We're taking part. And if we see that value, then that can begin to change our attitudes to work. It gives it a whole new value. I really like the story, you may have heard it, about when President Kennedy was visiting the Cape Canaveral Space Center for NASA, and he was being shown round and meeting various people, and they came around the corner and bumped into a chap who was enthusiastically sweeping the floor, in overalls, just doing the cleaning. And Kennedy asked him what he was doing, and the man said, "I'm helping to put a man on the moon." He wasn't just the cleaner, he was someone who was taking part in a much grander exercise. And that can be our attitude too. Whatever it is that is occupying our time, paid work or voluntary work, caring or whatever. All too often, it can feel as if good work goes unappreciated. Conditions in the workplace are sometimes unfair, and work can begin to feel meaningless and futile, as was described by the writer of Ecclesiastes. But if we can lift our eyes and see that our efforts of work are pleasing to God, how will that change how we feel about work, whatever it is, including voluntary work, including the different service that someone may be able to offer if they're sick or disabled? It's all about contributing to God's work. And then in the second part of the Ephesians passage, we get to Paul talking about people that have others working for them, masters, bosses, if you like. Bosses are told to treat their staff with the same respect and sincerity that they would expect themselves to receive. And the reason is the same. It's because they're serving God. And it's probably useful for those in leadership or management positions to remember their own position as servants of God. Now, not all of us at work could or would identify ourselves as bosses, and some of us probably don't have anyone else working directly for us or have authority over them. But in our workplaces, we'll often have the opportunity to demonstrate leadership, even if it isn't management leadership, and certainly the ability to demonstrate Christian values. For example, a sense of work being mundane or meaningless can be transformed by small acts of appreciation. Your workplace may not have a very supportive management, but it doesn't have to be the boss that says thank you to someone who does something well, or well done, you did a really good job there. That's something that everyone can do for everyone else. And we often forget, as we go around our normal lives, that we're existing in other people's workplaces. We live in a service economy. There's things being done for us all the time, and we tend not to appreciate, I think, as much as we should. How about greeting the bus driver or thanking the road sweeper or the postman or writing an email or a text to say, "I received great service from so-and-so today"? That would be a great change we can make, and it'll make a difference. It can be transformative, and it's God's work. So, to summarize, as full-time Christians, we'll want to take Jesus, or we should want to take Jesus, into every aspect of our lives. He's interested in our work, whether it's paid or unpaid, whether it's formal or informal. And Jesus wants to be as delighted with our work as he is with our worship in church. The world of work is imperfect, like the rest of the world. But Christians can help to make a difference by helping to transform the culture of workplaces. So let's value the work that we do and that other people do, whether it's in the workplace or in the home or in the church or at college or in the community. We all have an important part to play in bringing about God's kingdom here on earth. Amen.